let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. One reviewer calls the Madhouse Projects by Rick Bratton required reading for all futurists. The science fiction page-turner gives people a glimpse at what the future within their lifetime could look like. The Madhouse Projects deals with automotive engineer Flick Thurman and various people who are on a mission to make the world a better place. Rick began writing science fiction stories around a half a century ago, inspired by sci-fi TV shows and books that he read, even writing plays while he was in the fourth grade. By the eighth grade, Rick was writing science fiction books. His work has been featured on radio shows for 27 years. He hosted a cable TV program about future technology and ideas. He's written letters to the editor since 1974. Over 300 have been published since 2013 by his hometown newspaper in Warsaw, Indiana. The author of two other books with two more ready for publication, Rick Bratton, author of The Madhouse Projects, is our guest on This Week in America. Rick, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be on.
What a fantastic world that you've created in this particular book, The Madhouse Projects. What motivated you to, well, let's go back, not just on this book, but the first book that you wrote, this fiction, this great interest you had in science fiction. What was the interest in writing your first book?
Well, there was a friend of mine that back when he was in grade school said he was going to go home and write a book. And I thought, wow, that'd be neat. So I started writing, and then when I was a freshman in high school, I was up about 150 pages on a book I was writing, and I asked him, whatever happened to that book you said you were going to write? And he says, well, I wrote one page, couldn't think of anything else, so I stopped. I just kept on going.
I mean, that's amazing. When you were writing that the first time out, were the writer's block, did you have any hesitation? It sounded like it just sort of flowed once you got started.
Oh, yeah, basically, when I write a book, I'm really seeing stuff in my mind. I'm just basically dictating what I'm seeing.
I mean, that's amazing. The book we're talking about, The Madhouse Projects by Rick Bratton. I'll give you information on where to find the book. It's, of course, available at Amazon as we go through the program. Why this fascination? I mentioned the TV shows and the books. Why this fascination with science fiction when you were growing up? What was it about the world that these creators came up with that caught your attention?
Well, a lot of times they were very optimistic. Like, you probably remember Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Oh, of course, yes.
Time Tunnel.
Yes.
Well, they had things happening way before they actually would have happened. And I thought, wow, that's optimistic. And also Star Trek, very optimistic. And I thought, wow, I'd love to write about stuff like that.
You know, and you do it so well in all the books. And the book we're talking about specifically, The Madhouse Projects. Being a Christian, how does that impact your writing? Does it have an impact on it?
Actually, it gives me a lot of optimism. And also, I've noticed whenever I read some science fiction, they have mentions about trusting God, and even in some of the movies, like the last scene in the opening of Lost in Space, they're actually praying and thanking God for a safe landing on the planet they are on. And so there's been a lot of Christianity in science fiction.
Yeah, and I sense that optimism as we're talking that you have for writing and for the science fiction genre in particular. Let's talk about this thing of being a futurist. I mentioned that what you do in this book in particular required reading for all futurists. What are your views about the future? And you seem to have a real positive outlook. Some people look at the future and think, wow, with everything running out of control in our world, I'm not sure what the future is going to be. I sense you're optimistic about the future.
Oh, yeah. But as a Christian, I also know there are going to be some bad times ahead. The Bible talks it as being the tribulation. But after that, there's 1,000 years of peace when Jesus rules the world. So got to be optimistic about that. I know the world will not end. I've told kids ever since I was a kid over 50 years ago, don't worry, man will not destroy the world. God created it. God is the only one that's going to be able to destroy it.
When you're writing about the future, talk about that, because you have to sort of look ahead in terms of, you know, technology, what's going to be the condition of the world at that point in time. How difficult is it to do that, to project that far out and not be totally outlandish, but be realistic, so when the reader is going through and enjoying your books, it's like believable to them?
I think that I try to put my mind beyond where I'm writing about and look back toward the future and try to imagine how things might be, oh, let's say 200 years from now, if I'm writing about something that's going to happen maybe 100 years from now, and how 100 years from now will affect 200 years from now.
Is that fun, looking at the future like that?
Well, it gets kind of frustrating, especially when I see things that should have taken place by now not happening.
Oh, yes.
I get frustrated a lot of times.
With us on the program, Rick Badman, that's B-A-D-M-A-N. His book is The Madhouse Projects. The book's available at Amazon. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Tell me a little bit about not just your writing style that we'll talk about, but the agenda. So often we see writers and they have a point of view. They have an agenda that they're trying to get across in the book as well, often in an entertaining way, but they still have an agenda. Do you have a point of view, a particular agenda that you like to incorporate in your stories?
Well, I think it was one thing that sort of inspired me to start a cable TV program. I try to express my point of view of how I would like things to be, and I try to mold the future, and so I interject technology and try to shape a little bit. I've sent off to companies and the government for years. Actually, I sent off a satellite defense system to President Nixon back in '70. I even suggested using ray weapons to shoot down missiles and warheads. And so I've been into it for quite a while.
Did you get a response to that?
Yeah, I got a call, I think it was around October of 1970, and for all I know, it might have been H.R. Halderman. I think he was answering phones back then.
Well,
I told him, to work on the power ray. That was the ray weapon that I had sent off the idea about, and they got kind of quiet as if, well, maybe they are working on that. And now I learned that Tesla may have been working on something like that even.
It's interesting, the technology, and it leads you to believe, if somebody 100 years from now was reading one of your books, let's say The Madhouse Projects, where you're looking into the future, well, when they're reading it, it actually is the future. What do you think they would think about you and your writing and your vision of the future?
I'm hoping that they think, well, at least he thought the future is going to be great, something worth living in. Instead of what a lot of these writers, they write about, oh, we're going to, I remember it used to be popular, oh, we're going to have an ice age, or we're going to, Earth is going to boil over and all that. I just don't want that to happen. I want to be able to change things. I know God will, but I think we do have the ability to change the future. We just have to have the will to do it.
We talked about the optimism before, and a lot of that goes back to your religious belief. Is that where most of this optimism comes from, or some of it the fact that you think people, when it comes right down to it, will do the right thing? We've got tremendous minds out there, scientists. They will do the right thing.
I think that, my book, where I have it, a secret installation in Arizona, where people that have brilliant minds get to work on their projects and get the funding to do it, I'm sort of picturing myself as, boy, I wish I could do something like that. And so I wrote it down as if I'm the guy, Dick Thurman, who's able to do all this.
You know, that's fascinating. The world that you create, and you can take it in any direction that you want. The book we're talking about is The Madhouse Projects by Rick Badman. The book's available at Amazon, link on by going to our website. I'm always interested in the process a writer goes through. So often you talk to a writer and they say, okay, writing it is fun. Then I got to go back and I got to rewrite. Then I got to rewrite the rewrites. Talk about your process and how you go about writing and if you get involved in a lot of rewrites.
I really don't do that many rewrites. I picture something, and like I said, I just write down what I see in my mind. And then I go from there. I give my characters a lot of independence. If I think it's going to go one way, they might be going another way. So I just follow along that path that they go.
So you don't do a strict outline then where, you know, I'd like to go in this direction, but that's not where I thought it was going to go. I'm going to stick to the script, to the outline. It sounds like some of these characters can pretty well dictate which way they're going to go if they so choose.
Oh, yeah. Like my latest book that I've submitted, I thought I couldn't have written it 6 months ago the way it is now. It has totally changed because things happen, and I was told to add some chapters to the Madhouse Projects, and that changed the direction of the next book. And so I just follow along that other path.
You know, in reading reviews, you write about areas that other writers, not many of them do, if any of them do. What are some of the areas that you talk about, that you bring up in your books, that others are not doing?
Well, I'm heavily into technology. Like one of the ideas I've had, oh, this was years ago, back in the 70s, something called a strato tower. It's a building that's miles tall that's held up by electromagnetic energy force beams, and it's generated by geothermal energy in the foundation levels. I was talking with an architect back in 81 and showed him the idea, and he thought, it might be possible by the 21st century. And so I did a two-part thing on my cable TV program about strato towers and some of the various things about them. I try to write my stuff as if the things actually can exist, and then I just describe how they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I mentioned the fact that you've written a couple of books. Now out there is the Madhouse Projects, and you've got several more you're working on. What are you working on? Are you working on a book at the present time?
No, not right now. I'm actually into composing music, too. I'm working on my third piano concerto right now. So I've been composing music since 72. And so a lot of times if I can't think of anything to write, I just go and compose some music.
Where did all this come from? Was this the home life as you were growing up, where parents, family encouraged this creative flair that you've got, you know, the radio, the television, the newspaper writings that you do, of course, the books, and I didn't realize you were a musician as well. Where did this all come from?
I think some of it was sort of defiance against my parents. They're sort of worried that I'm into science fiction. They used to call it crazy junk, and they just didn't think there was any future in the future. But I sort of defied them. My cable TV program was one way of showing them, hey, someone wants to watch some of my stuff, so there are people interested.
Are there writers today that you enjoy reading that maybe have an influence on what you write about?
Well, for one thing, I've met Isaac Asimov.
Ooh.
And he had some influence. I used to read his magazine that he put out, and also some of his articles. So a lot of his optimism I enjoy. And also I have told him off one time. I told him his three laws of robotics wouldn't work in the real world, and he didn't like that. And then Terminator came out a few years later.
I mean, that's just amazing that you approached that in the response that you got. Let's talk a little bit about this career, the show that you did for years in dealing with future technology and ideas. How much fun is that? And it sounds like you got into some ideas that came true then on down the line.
Yeah, I know. Actually, my first program I did back in 1985, I was basically recording myself talking, and then I did the drawings to illustrate what I was talking about. And so I edited them in. I was talking on my first program about news reporters in the future, how that when you see a bunch of news reporters, that you'll see them wearing glasses. Well, those glasses would be basically camera and mics all together, and what they see would be recorded and would be go back to the truck, and the people on TV would see what they see and hear what they hear. It hasn't really come to pass yet, but there's time.
Well, yeah, I see that technology as being something that that could very well happen in the future. What other projects are you working on? You mentioned the doing the music. Are you still involved in letters to the editor?
Oh, yeah. In fact, one of my letters was published just yesterday in the Warsaw Times Union about how that seems like a mob mentality is going against Trump, and how that people like Jerry Nadler and some of the other Democrats are providing the rope try to lynch the innocent President Trump.
So you've got takes on the political arena as well. It's just it has to be an interesting life out there putting all of this together. Are there concepts that you have? I mean, as you go through life and you see things, you're driving into work, you're driving home, you keep a notebook with all these technological ideas that may actually appear in a book someday?
Sometimes I do, but other times I just remembered enough that I incorporate that in some design. Or sometimes, since I have internet access, I send off some of these ideas to companies. Of course, a lot of times they send form letters, but I at least I get my stuff out there. Like the other day, I was looking on the internet, and I typed in fission fusion reactor, and I saw the Russians were working on something like that. And so I wrote the editor of this magazine, you know, I had the same idea for a fission fusion reactor in 1979 that I brought into the magazine Fusion. So maybe the Russians might have read my materials, for all I know.
Well, it could be with the internet the way it is. They could have gone back and seen an archive somewhere and come up with that idea. I've got a couple minutes left in the program. The book, The Madhouse Project, is getting excellent reviews. Tell me a little bit about Flick Thurman, why you like him as a lead character, why we will like him as a lead character.
He is more of a normal person than a lot of these characters. I know it's popular to have superheroes and enhanced yes. humans, although I mention that in my next book. But he's a person people can relate to and wish, boy, I wish I could do that. And they could sort of picture themselves as, hey, maybe I could be that guy. Just push my ideas. If the right people get a hold of them, then I can go from there.
How much of Flick Thurman is in you? Do you reflect some of his qualities?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of times writers do have their main characters sort of either a reflection of them or their fantasies of what they would like to be.
And
he's sort of a fantasy of what I would like to be.
What do you hope that we take away from reading The Madhouse Projects? It's a story well done. It's very entertaining. But overall, any messages you hope that we take away after we finish reading the book?
You hear about a lot of pessimism, like they say, oh, the world only has 10 years before we go beyond be able to help it. No. Technology is going to help us be able to correct a lot of the mistakes. It's going to be expensive, but I think the world is not beyond redemption. And I'm hoping people realize that, too, and don't give in to all these naysayers and say, oh, we have no hope. No, we have hope.
And you'll find that after you read the book, The Madhouse Projects, by Rick Badman. That's B-A-D-M-A-N. Book's available at, you'll find it at Amazon. You can link on directly to Rick's information on the book at Amazon by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A second or so left in the program. I know you've been working with Reader's Magnet on this project. What has that been like for you to have them side by side with you in getting the book out to the general public?
I'd say it's very encouraging. I've tried before with a couple other publishers, and they basically didn't do much of anything. The first company that did handle the Madhouse Project, they just basically had a picture of my book in amongst about 20-some other books. So they were just saying, well, here's this book. If you want to, go buy it. But I think Reader's Magnet is more concerned about trying to get the book out there for the public to really look at it and get that optimism that I have.
Yeah, and like I said a few minutes ago in the program, I sense your optimism. I appreciate your optimism, and you will read that optimistic atmosphere, that attitude that Rick has in his book, The Madhouse Project. Rick Badman has been our guest on the program. That's B-A-D-M-A-N, book available at Amazon. Rick, a pleasure having you on the program. Look forward to having you back talking about the next book, or talk about the piano concerto at some time. So, multi-talented man. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
It was great to be on.
Thank you. Rick Badman, our guest. The book is The Madhouse Projects, available at Amazon. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.